Lord, take your Bibles tonight, please, and go with me to the book of 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings. And it's easy to find. It's right before the book of 2 Kings. And I know that joke's old, but it's fun to say anyhow. And God is good. Now, you got to say amen a little louder for the person who's sick next to you, who normally sits next to you, all right? We don't have to, we have to practice that? Okay, no. As long as you got that down, right? Amen. Have we got it down?
Amen.
Okay, well, that's a little bit better. Amen. You say amen to a preacher, it's like saying sick 'em to a bulldog. Amen. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 18 in our Bibles tonight. We're going to look tonight at the false prophets on Mount Carmel. The false prophets on Mount Carmel. Can I tell you, false prophets are nothing new. We live in a time when they come very, very regularly. And we'll see that in Scripture. But God, again, repeatedly gives us sharp warnings about false prophets. And He gives us even identification marks of false prophets. How do we know? How do we know if someone is a false prophet? Well, God tells us, and the passage that we're going to look at tonight gives us some understanding about false prophets in the Bible tonight. So begin with me, please, at verse number 21, chapter 18, and verse number 21. We're going to begin reading here. We're going to read several verses of this passage tonight. And so follow along, please, as we read. Verse 21, notice what the Bible says here. Now, Elijah is gathered here on Mount Carmel. On one side are these prophets of Baal that have been brought in by wicked King Ahab. And there's 450 of them on one side. And so on God's side, there's only one, and his name is Elijah. And these two hit a clash of God's man versus the false prophets. And the passage tells us what happens when this clash occurs. So look at verse 21. We'll begin reading here. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and will lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call in the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar great as could contain, as would contain, 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the trench, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God that has turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Let's stop there and pray tonight. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word tonight. And God, as we open it tonight, I pray you challenge our minds and challenge our hearts, Lord, tonight with the truths of the passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray you'd open unto us a good understanding of the false prophets that exist in this world. God, we ask your help and your blessings tonight. As we open your word, we pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the story in the passage of Scripture tonight is simply a story of one theme. And the one theme of this passage is God wins. God wins. That's the passage of the story. God may not seem to have won in the beginning, but God did win in the end. And it's always true. It's always true. And because that is the theme, not just of the passage, but that is the theme of our life also. And that is not just the theme of our life, that's the theme of the whole Bible. And again, it seems like this old world is winning. It seems like this old world has got the advantage, but hear me tonight, in the end, God wins. God's always going to win. God may not always be there in the first, second, or third quarter, but God will always be there in the fourth quarter. And I want to tell you something. Some of the best things that God has got are the things that God has got ahead for us, not just the things that behind. Salvation's good. Thank God we're saved. But through that salvation, we got a whole lot of good things coming to us in the future. And it's because in the end, God is going to win. God is going to win. And that's why we as Christians need to always be on God's team. I'm glad I'm on God's team. Amen? Listen, we live in a time and we live in a world where there are so many people that are giving in the first and the second and the third quarters. And we're caving in. We're quitting what we believe. Independent Baptists by the droves are walking away from what the Bible teaches. Why in the world are we doing that? Hey, listen. Hang in there until the fourth quarter. And that's what God did here in this passage of Scripture. We see that God sent this fire down and it licked up this sacrifice. And then all the prophets of Baal, they ended up destroyed. Now, this is where I want to go with the passage of Scripture tonight. I want to look at these prophets of Baal tonight. And I want you to see some things of why it's so important for us to never, ever get caught up with these false prophets, these compromising mentalities today. Oh, it seems so alluring to the weak Christian, to the Christian. We are so enamored in this country by glitz and glamour. Most Christians are more enamored by what sparkles and shines rather than what is true and full of substance. And I tell you, substance is where truth and righteousness are found, and that is what helps you and I in the fourth quarter when we see God. I want to tell you something. Everything we endure for God, it's going to pay off one of these days. Amen? Pay off. It's sad to see the world compromise. You know, Baptists used to be strong. You could even go to a Southern Baptist church and find that they had standards, dress standards, and music standards. In the 1950s, they were more conservative than us. Really? They were more conservative than us. But now you go in and you know, Southern Baptists are starting to accept LGBTQ, RSV, PDQ, WXYZ. I don't know all of that. They're starting to accept all of that into the Southern Baptists now. What's happening? We're not holding out until the fourth quarter. We haven't seen God come down yet and lick up that sacrifice. We're over here coddling up to these 450 prophets of Baal. We're kind of hanging around these boys because they're the popular crowd of the day. And there's old Elijah standing over there all by himself. Let me tell you something. He's on the right team. And on his team, in the end, God is going to win. Let's look at some things about these false prophets in Scripture. Notice, first of all, I want you to notice, first of all, they were numerous. They were numerous. Look at verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. I'm going to tell you something. The false prophets are numerous in our world today. There's a lot of them. I'll guarantee you they outnumber true preachers. I'll guarantee you they do. You say, why is that, preacher? I think one day many good preachers knew the Bible, believed God, believed the truth, but somehow got sucked into things that were enticing or glittering or somehow had some persuasive, influential ideology attached to them, or made a little compromise not to offend somebody. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you preach the Bible, you're going to offend somebody. Not because you desire to offend people, but the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. According to Hebrews chapter 4, it's a sharp book. And the Word of God, and the false preachers are numerous. There's plenty of them out there teaching baptismal regeneration. There's plenty of them out there teaching all kinds of crazy wrong things. They are numerous. There's a lot of them. Recently, in the state of Indiana, get this, in the state of Indiana, there were 125 so-called clergy members who went to the, excuse me, they went to the Indiana State House. They showed up, 125 of them, and they were urging the governor to sign a special petition that he would embrace and accept the sodomite lifestyle. That wasn't the sodomites or the LGBTQ, PDQ, WZ, XYZ group. It wasn't that group doing it. It was the supposed clergy members. 125 of them. I don't know if they've read their Bible yet, but Bible tells us that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sodomy.
Yes, sir.
Right. Have they read their Bible? Or are they too afraid to stand and say, this is what God said? I think the latter is true. And may I tell you tonight, it doesn't matter. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that God even gave some up to vile affections. Amen. You say, preacher, that means you don't love homosexual people. I want to tell you something. Homosexuality is like any other sin. It needs to be repented of, and God will forgive it and save them. God will do that. But many of them will not do that. It's a very steepening sin, because I believe what Romans chapter 1 is teaching us is that it's a vile affection. And this is why, why aren't preachers, you know, if every preacher in this country, in this world would stand up, a lot of this stuff would go away. A lot of it would disappear. Because every preacher, if they're standing up, and this is what we ought to be unified on, and instead they want to be unified on all this other stuff, transgender. God forbid the day. You say, well, you say, preacher, you don't love these people. It's the exact opposite. God loves them and wants to save them from the horrors of their sin. God wants to save them. It is about God's true love.
Amen.
But to blind a man by hiding the truth of the Word of God from his sin does not reveal to him his need for repentance and turning to Christ. When you hide sin, you are doing the same as saying, it's not important, it doesn't matter. Just hide it. But can I tell you what? God sees it. And it's on the account of every sinner. And it must be given to God. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. There's numerous ones. There are ones out there. And you know, there are Baptist churches, and it's starting to creep into a lot of independent Baptist churches where preachers aren't given altar calls anymore. Don't give an altar call, preacher. Why? That puts somebody on the spot. Can I tell you the numbers of people in the 15 years in this mega church that have gotten saved and trusted God because we had an altar call? Be it junior church or in church services or VBS. Can I tell you how many kids and people have gotten saved because you had an altar call? Don't be afraid of what God has good. I say to you today that these false prophets of Baal, they're numerous. The second thing I want you to notice about them is that they were phonies. They were phonies. You know, the word prophet really doesn't even fit them. It's really a word that they shouldn't even be called, because they're far from being a prophet. They're more like a puppet of Ahab. They're Ahab's pawns in his hand, doing his evil bidding. And if any one of them were true prophets, they'd stand up to Baal and say, hey, we're serving the wrong God here. Let's get over on God's side. Isn't that what Joshua told them? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let it be declared. That's what a preacher's for. Use your voice. Lift up your voice and cry aloud. Spare not, the Bible says. Amen. You say, oh, preacher, we're so afraid of offending somebody that we risk them not getting right with the Lord. And we're so afraid of stepping on somebody's toes. And listen to me, I don't think you ought to step on somebody's toes unnecessarily. I'm not an offender. I don't walk around trying to hurt people. That's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, if the preaching of God's word hurts us, we need the hurt. Amen. But it's not meant to hurt. It's meant to show us truth. It's meant to give us an understanding of the holiness of our God and what God expects for us to follow Him. These prophets here, they were prophets, but really, they were just following Ahab. And how do you know a real prophet? Well, they were loyal to God in word, but really, they were loyal to Ahab in their heart. And the heart of a preacher is really what matters. They were loyal to Ahab. Oh, I want to tell you something. Preachers today are loyal to everything but God. Don't get me wrong, there's still many, many good Bible preaching, preachers that are preaching the word today. Thank God for them. Amen. I thank God for men. I can go down the list and name a bunch of them, but I'll tell you, I thank God for them. But for every one, there's probably 10 of them that have some other thing that really is their God other than simply just pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we do that, we can't please the crowd. You know, God didn't call us to please the crowd. He called us to preach His word. He called us to stand and say, this is what God said, and just let the chips fall where they may. Because you see, God, when His word is preached, it will revive the heart. And those of you who are here tonight are the very testimony that that is true. A God-called preacher preached to you, and a conviction entered into you one day because you heard the truth, because a preacher was willing to be a true prophet of God. And that is what brings us the blessings of God. I said they were phonies. There's a third thing about them, is that they were powerless. They were powerless. Notice verse 25. Elijah, I like this. You know, Elijah makes a deal with him. I like this. And by the way, he told later on it was God that told him to do this. But he said, we're going to build an altar. I'll build an altar. You build an altar. And you take a bullock and dress it and put it on that your altar. And I'll take a bullock and dress it on mine. And you call down your God and say, have your God consume your sacrifice with fire. And I'm going to call down my God, and my God will consume the sacrifice with fire. Kind of a challenge. Amen. And so he gets out there, and they dress it. They put it on there. And what do? The Bible says, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. They were powerless. They couldn't pray the fuzz off a peach. They were powerless. Oh, I want to tell you something. There's power in knowing the true God. There's power in knowing the true God. And knowing the true God is where really God's people ought to be. They were powerless. And I think it's funny. And number four is they were embarrassing. They were embarrassing. Look at verse number 27. And it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's on the phone. He's on the cell phone. Your God's on the cell phone. He's on hold right now. Elijah's mocking them. You know, really, a false prophet is embarrassing. They really are. It's embarrassing. Because there's no substance in being torn between God and man. God and man going back and forth. Hey, just stand on God's side. There's no embarrassment there. Amen. There's no shame there. There's no pulled apart there. That's God's place. Boy, they were embarrassing. I think I like Elijah. I think I could like what he did. He said to him here in verse 27, is he's pursuing or he is in a journey. Maybe he went somewhere. Or peradventure, he sleepeth and he must be away. Is your God allowed? Is your God there? So notice they had to resort to these weird tactics. By the way, a lot of the weird tactics that we see today and a lot of this other stuff that goes on in religions, a lot of it is them calling on a false god. Notice what they did, verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves with their manner, after their manner, with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time they were even preaching. Until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Their God was not home. Their God was gone. Listen, I'd rather have a God that shows up strong in the fourth quarter than a God that doesn't show up at all. Amen. I'd rather have that kind of God on my side. But they were embarrassing. I think there's a lot of people that are going to get to heaven, and God should say, why should I let you into heaven? And they're going to give God an answer that a false prophet gave them. And they're going to be embarrassed. Because God will say to many, and God tells us this in his word, that God will say unto me, many, in that day, Lord, Lord, and I never knew you. I never knew you. That's scripture. That's the word of God. They were embarrassing. Oh, how embarrassing it will be one day to be, to stand to God clothed in your own righteousness rather than his righteousness. How embarrassing that will be. For so many people. Embarrassing. These prophets were embarrassing. Fourthly, these prophets, they were full of compromise. They were full of compromise. Can I say this? Don't compromise what the Bible says. Don't compromise it. You say, well, people won't like it. But then they have to answer to God for that. I can't change it. I can't change the word to make it convenient. Because if you change the word to make it convenient, you're only taking people just as they already are in their sinful condition and keeping them in a sinful condition. You got to take the word of God and preach it as truth. Because that's what brings truth. That's what brings life. There was a Dallas church. Get this. This Dallas church made it a point to give their blessing to drag queens. A Dallas church hosted a group of drag queens on Sunday, September the 17th, in order to bless them and to respond to a state law that would make sexually oriented performances in front of children a criminal offense. So they brought them into the church. The church would then went a step further, pledging allegiance to the LGBT agenda while praying aloud, quote, we pledge to be allies to the drag community. That's a bunch of junk. God's not for that. God wants them to repent of that. That's not of God. That's a false prophet right there. The Cathedral of Hope is what it's called. It's a cathedral of dope. A congregation affiliated with the United Church of Christ is said to be the largest LGBTQ-friendly church in the world. What are those preachers going to say when they die and stand before God? What are those preachers going to do? they're going to say, well, we tried to love them as you loved them. Let me tell you something. Love and truth have to go together. If you don't have both together, you don't have anything. Love and truth have to go together. You say, well, I love somebody. You know, if you don't have truth hooked with it, your love will dissipate. Love will be destroyed because truth is the glue that holds love together. Truth and right. They were compromisers. You know, it's funny. Back in the 60s when the hippie movement came in, a lot of churches started catering to the hippies and toned the preaching down against long hair and short dresses and all this stuff. And then the homosexual agenda came along in the 80s and 90s. That same crowd attached to that and started cutting more verses out of their Bible. Then women preachers came along and that became popular. You say, you think women preachers are wrong? Let me give you a Bible verse. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that a bishop must be the husband of one wife. It's hard to be the husband of one wife when you're a female. You say, preacher, you're down on women. No, listen, I love and respect godly women. I do. I thank God for them. It is men that God wants to be holy in righteousness in the leadership roles of the church. It does not mean that ladies cannot serve and help and do things in the church. But hey, listen, when it comes to preaching the word, God wants men. Spirit-filled, godly men to get up and preach the word. Amen. And you say, well, now, wait a minute. There was one in the Old Testament, a woman. And you know why she was in there? Because no man would be there. Deborah, prophetess, there was no man that would stand up and be the preacher at the time. Hey, that's why we need to continue to have true men of God. We may never be big, we may never be popular, but we can always provide the truth to somebody who wants to know it, to somebody who hungers for it. They can find truth. Imagine if every true preacher today was sucked into the agendas that the world have created. What kind of church would you have to go to? Would you have to sift through all the garbage and the music and a constant barrage of being hit by how you ought to quit being so judgmental about us? Hey, I want to tell you something. It's not being judgmental. It's simply saying how God looks at it in His Word. Amen. And it's not hate-filled about people who do this. I'm not hateful to anybody. I want to see them come to know the truth and the love of God in their life. But the truth is that if preachers keep compromising the truth can never be seen, and people will accept falsehood as truth. And when they do, they're going to meet God someday and stand before God unprepared and unready. Hey, don't get upset with me if I preach something that steps on your toes. If it's in the Bible, God told me to preach it. Amen. Amen. And I'm just a microphone. And by the way, it's the same way with every God-called preacher across the country. They're getting up and preaching the Word of God. It may step on a few toes, but I'll tell you what. There's something about being stepped on my toes that goes all the way to and makes my heart warm. Amen? Something about it. Because real preaching, and you know what I think it really is? It's when you preach the truth to the world today, they're so far from it anymore. And they're drifting so far that when you preach truth, it becomes shocking. It becomes bewildering because they're so far from hearing it. And I think a lot of people have a hard time with it. But it's not the fault of truth. It's not the fault of truth and right. It is the fault of the devil's sin bringing men and people so far away from God. And it's also man's fault. In our natures, we tend to drift from God, and God warns man from time to time. God warns them to not go your way, and yet man keep continuing on his way, such that when the day comes and he hears truth and he hears what God says, he's so far from it that he just cannot accept it. It seems strange. It seems rare. You know, one of these days, I believe they're going to persecute God's called preachers. And the reason is because what they preach will seem so shocking that it can't be possibly true and real because they've drifted so far from truth. Amen. You know, back in the 40s, if every God-called preacher preached against homosexuality, every one of them. Have you ever heard of Billy Sunday? Billy Sunday'd break chairs when he'd preach. He'd preach, saw over 1 million people get saved. He'd preach against sin. He'd preach against booze. I mean, hot and heavy. Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. You see how far we've drifted, and that's why society is so shocked when it hears truth. It's because of the distance from which we have drifted in our world. And I blame a lot on false prophets in our world today. Now we come to a place where a boy can identify as a girl and a girl can identify as a cat. What are our pets going to identify with next? This world's gone crazy, and we're supposed to just accept and swallow every pill that's given to us when we know better from truth. Let's not serve the God of popularity. Let's not serve the God of convenience or comfort, because convenience and comfort are reserved for heaven. Amen? Let's just keep staying at the truth. Let's just keep standing. Let's just keep preaching what's right, because what is right will bring the difference between these ones that are wrong. The Presbyterian Church in the USA decided to add, quote, a non-binary genderqueer category to the form it uses to collect information about its membership. A lady named Chris Valerius, I think it's a lady, who manages denominational roles and statistics, said, if we want to be inclusive, you know, God's never been uninclusive. Right. Amen. All. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why is the word for religions inclusive? If we want to be inclusive, she said, then we have to start asking, because you should be aware of who's a part of your church. There it is, she said. Inclusion is one of religious liberalism's favorite terms. The matter at hand, Presbyterian Church of the USA has abandoned its orthodox heritage in a number of areas, ranging from its view on the inspiration of scriptures to today as it claims about human sexuality. In 1993, The Presbyterian Church denomination was created by a merger of the Presbyterian Church and the United Presbyterians of America, and it had 3.2 million members. Today, that was back in 1993, today the total membership is just 1.19 million members, and in 2021, the membership declined by nearly 63%. Now, that's what happened when they tried to be inclusive. They didn't end up including anybody. They ended up going away from everybody. And I say to you tonight that this old false prophet stuff to try to be inclusive is nothing more than a devil's trick to cause us to hide truth from the ones who need it the most. So let's be truth prophets. The true prophet in this passage of Scripture was small in number. You know how many there were? One. Just one. But one with God is a majority. They were small. There wasn't much. But they were powerful. And when Elijah prayed, God's fire came down. He consumed a sacrifice that was soaked with water twice, three times. It didn't stop him. Even the stones were burnt up. It was powerful. Also, it was influential. Notice verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, "The Lord, He is the God. He is the God." Now, they were previous in the passage, Scripture in verse 25, they were halted between two opinions, weren't they? They were going back. They were on seesaw Christianity. Back and forth. Well, what's right? What's right? Is it Baal or is it God? And now, because they saw truth, they knew God was God. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Because they saw God was God, truth always will win in the end. God is always going to be there in the fourth quarter. I just want to be there on God's team in the fourth quarter. They were small, they were powerful, they were influential, and lastly, they were winners with God in the end. They were winners with God in the end. You know, it doesn't really matter what number you start the race. What matters is what number you finish the race. That determines the winner. That determines the winner. And can I tell you, the Bible tells us we're more than conquerors through God that loved us. Oh, hear me tonight. This funnel, this vacuum cleaner of liberal mentality that is so permeated in churches today. Hear me tonight. It's not worth getting sucked up into it. It's worth it to just hold on to God. Keep trusting in His Word. Keep loving God. Stay true and right on our beliefs and our standards. Just keep everything biblical. We don't have to change God. We don't have to create something new so we can be inclusive. God already includes us. Anyone who comes to God, God's arms are wide open. That is what we need to remember as we serve God. Remember this, truth will never end up on the loss end. And falsehood will never end up eventually on the good end. Always, always stick with what's true and God will bless them. So tonight, how about you? What are you sold on tonight? Are you solid yet on the truth? Are you clinging to truth because you're convinced that God's word is true? Or is that vacuum cleaner pulling you in? Don't let it. Don't let it pull you in. Its suction power will only lead you inside the dirt bag. Don't let it help you, unquote. Just continue to be what God wants you to be. And in that is a lot of relief, joy, blessings, and the peace of God. And that's exactly how we want to be ready when the Lord Jesus comes back again. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.